As we turn to God's Word, let us ask God to give us help in understanding it. Our Father, we come now to listen to Jesus as he speaks to us of the character of his disciples, and we pray that we would understand them, that we'd understand each one of these portions of the character, and especially the one today that has such an effect on people who think about it. Give us grace to understand and apply these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text this morning is verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled, or they shall be satisfied, depending on your chosen translation. The Beatitudes, as we've noted, are descriptors of the character of a disciple. Descriptions of a true Christian. The first three Beatitudes are rather reassuring if you see the qualities in your own heart. Listen to verses 3 through 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, or the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. But this one, could be devastating. It's different. Why do I say that? Well, it's a mirror of sorts that can reveal the hypocrisy of someone who claims to be a Christian. Or it can reveal false faith in Christ and expose the false or non-Christian. The word righteousness is what we call forensic. It digs deep to find out what's going on in the heart. It describes the true condition of your soul, or reveals it. What is meant by righteousness? Well, righteousness means you are fully in compliance with God's law. The unrighteous will end up in hell for all eternity, so that's rather important. And if you have no hunger or thirst to be righteous in the sight of God, no desire to obey God's law, then it is more than likely that you are not saved, that you are not a Christian at all. Let me explain. Jesus pronounces a blessing. He describes the happiness of those who desire to be righteous, those who desire to obey God's law. You see how this is a reader and discerner of the thoughts and intentions of your heart. He begins, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you've ever been hungry or thirsty after a hard day's work, then you understand this is a deep and motivating desire. And blessed are those who are deeply motivated to be righteous, is what Jesus is saying. They're happy. They're in a happy condition. Why is that? Well, when God created man, he was the perfect image of God. He was perfectly righteous. Adam was our father, and he began his life in perfect righteousness. He began his life obeying God perfectly. He loved God. He was obedient to his command. But when he sinned and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he became unrighteous. He became a sinner. And he was doomed to live and die as God's enemy in hell. Now, it may be, as we read Genesis, that Adam did repent and trust in God's promise. He, after all, named one of his sons Seth, meaning appointed or anointed, and it's possibly a reference to Christ. So it's quite possible, maybe even likely, that Adam was saved. But there's no possibility of friendship with God in the condition of being a sinner. No possibility to be saved if you are not righteous. And each one of us was born God's condemned mortal enemies because of Adam, and we ourselves were born unrighteous. Listen to the gospel and the bad news it gives you. You are Adam's son or daughter, and therefore you bear his guilt in the sight of God. You were born unrighteous. This condition is described in Romans chapter 3, verses 9b and 20, and I want you to turn there and read that with me. Romans chapter 3, beginning in the second part of verse 9. Romans 3, the second part of verse 9, and reading through verse 20. We have already charged both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. That means no flesh will be considered righteous in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. It means you are condemned to eternity as in hell as you live. Romans 6:23a says the wages of sin is death. No one in that condition, no one who is a sinner, committed to sin, wants to be righteous. They may want to go to heaven, but so long as they remain a sinner, they cannot go there. They cannot be saved. But the gospel has good news for the one who wants to be saved. The second part of Romans 6:23, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you confess to God that you were guilty of sin, repent of your sin, and trust in Jesus Christ who died to save you, then you will be forgiven. But even better, God will charge your sin to Jesus, and in fact did when Jesus died, and give you his perfect righteousness. And righteousness, again, is generally defined as having perfect conformity of life and heart to the law of God. In other words, if you're righteous, you love God, and you want to be holy. Therefore, if you are a Christian, one who trusts in and loves Jesus and longs to be like him, you will hunger and thirst for righteousness. With Paul in Romans, you will say, woe is me, for I do not do the good I want. I still sin. And that truly troubles you. Only one who has trusted in Jesus can possibly make that statement, can possibly hate sin and love righteousness and hunger and thirst for it. If you are a Christian, it is the deepest, most fervent desire of your heart to love God, obey him, and please him, to be as righteous as he is. So here is the biggest and most important question that I could ask you. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Notice carefully, I am not asking, do you sin? Every true Christian does sin. I'm not even asking, do you do terrible things? Because no Christian is above that either. What I'm asking you is far more basic and far more important. Do you hate your sin with all your heart and want to say, stop sinning? Do you want to obey God? Do you know of sinful habits that you would literally die to be rid of? Desire with all your heart to be perfectly obedient to God? Be honest about this. What is the deepest desire of your heart with regard to your sin? If it is to be like Jesus and to be done with sin once and for all, then you are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, perfect conformity to God's law and God's will. And if that is the case, what Jesus says about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness is the answer to your prayers. Jesus says you are blessed. Jesus says you are happy, for you shall be filled. Because you hunger and thirst for righteousness, it means you are a Christian, one whom God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son to die for. He gave you faith in Jesus, and only God can give you faith, so you would be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You're a Christian, he gave you a new heart. He took out of you the heart of sin and desire for sin, and gave you a new heart for him and the desire for righteousness. And his answer to your plea for holiness and conformity to his image is just what he plans to do for you. You will get those desires met. Your hopes and wishes will come true. Look at three scriptures with me that say precisely this. And again, I want you to turn to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. This time to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and the first of the three passages is Romans 8, 1 through 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in Jesus' flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's the way a righteous person lives. And it comes because of what God did through Jesus. And then verses 14 through 17. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Our lives are increasingly in conformity with the life of Christ and his character. And then verses 28 through 30. And this is God's magnificent plan for you to be satisfied, for you to receive the righteousness you desire. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What good? Well, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, his righteous Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren, look-alike brothers and sisters of Christ. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified, that is, he made them righteous. That's the desire you have. He's declared you righteous in his sight. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. You are already perfect in the presence of God. God's plan is to transform you throughout the rest of your life into the perfect likeness of Christ, to make you as righteous as he is. And every event, everything that happens to you, everything that's done with you, done to you, done in you, even by those who mean to do you harm, are all worked together by God to make you like Christ. Yes, you still face temptation. And yes, you still fail. And yes, you still sin. And yes, sometimes you sin in awful ways. Sometimes you lay your head on the pillow and you say, Dear God, I can't believe I did that awful thing. But the good news is that this breaks your heart, doesn't it? That means you're still a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. But when you cry out to him for help in such times of feeling guilty and horrible over your sin, it is certain that Jesus forgives you and wants you to rest in his promise. You will be filled. You will be made perfectly righteous over the course of time. The ultimate fulfillment of that promise will not come in this life, though it progressively moves in that direction. If you look back at your life over the years, you find that more and more, you really do look more like Christ. You really do live more righteously. Now, sin and failure will dog your steps as it did Paul's, as we saw in Romans 7, verses 14 to 24. Woe is me. I don't understand the things I'm doing. Every time I want to do good, there's evil, there's sin, dogging my steps, wanting me to do the wrong thing in the sight of God. And I feel awful about it. But notice that Paul is not left in despair. Again, look at Romans 7. I'm going to read the whole passage again because I think you need to hear it. Romans 7, 14 through 25. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. Christian, does that sound familiar? But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good, and only a righteous person will do that. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. That's what makes you hungry and thirsty for righteousness, you see. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I'm doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good, the one who wants to be righteous, you see. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. And listen to the cry of one who's hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? That's something that a Christian, and only a Christian, will think and wail over. Paul is not left in despair, because he says in verse 25 of Romans chapter 8, I'm sorry, in verse 25 of Romans chapter 7, thanks be to God through Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh the law of sin. But I'm confident that God will make me righteous when all is said and done. Paul hungers and thirsts for righteousness here, just as you do. And the promise of Jesus to him and to you is, they and you will be filled. And finally, a word to any who might be listening who are not Christians, especially any who had never realized the truth of what you have heard about being a sinner and needing to be saved, or don't believe it. If you have no desire for righteousness, then understand that you are bound for condemnation for all eternity in hell. You are a sinner and need to be saved. And in such days as we live in, you have perhaps, now more than ever, reason to tremble. Are you really ready to meet God and be judged for the way that you've lived your life? If you believe the idea that everyone will be saved regardless of their religious background, who they believed God is, whatever they believed about God and Jesus, then the devil and society and philosophy have sold you a bill of goods that will land you in eternal suffering in hell. If you don't exchange those lies for the truth of the gospel, you will end up in hell. Christ Jesus, though, came into this world to save sinners and die in their place. And the only way you're going to heaven when you die is to confess you are a hell-deserving sinner who cannot do anything to please God or earn his salvation. The only way to heaven is to confess your sin and filthy unrighteousness before God and ask him to save you. And the only way he will do that is if you confess your sin, repent of it, by which I mean by his grace, your only hope, seek to stop doing it, instead seek to obey God's commandments and trust in the obedience of Christ and his death for you and your sin in your place. Turn from death to life, from your commitment to sin to a commitment to follow Jesus and what he teaches for the rest of your life by the strength and power of God. You have no power to do it. Only God can make this possible. Only God can give you a hunger and thirst for righteousness. And by all means, stop thinking, oh, I have plenty of time to do that. One exposure to a deadly virus, one shot from a gun, one heart attack or fatal accident, and you will be in the presence of a just God who will condemn you if you are not righteous with the righteousness of Christ that he alone can give you. But if you are trusting in Jesus and you hunger and thirst for righteousness, really desire to be righteous before God, then rejoice and be glad, because Jesus says he will fill you and you will be eternally glad for it. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for the promise of Jesus that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. Oh Lord, change us. Change us and make us righteous as a sinner on earth can possibly be. And prepare us, O Lord, for glory. In Jesus' name, amen.